Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. Oh, I forgot to open my chat, so we're going to do that in a second here. Hopefully it works. Let me know when you can see me, when you can hear me. I am loading in my chat now. So here we go. Is it working? Is anybody out there? There we go. People are alive and well in internet land. Welcome to tonight. It's going to be a great night. I have a word for you guys. We're going to be talking about heaven. No sound. Oh, no. Hopefully. Oh, just kidding. Jake, come on, bro. How are you going to troll me the first 30 seconds of the stream? Give me like 2 minutes before you start trolling me. If you guys can, please like and share this broadcast. That's going to help us out tremendously. We are trying out 4K. Usually we stream in 1080 and we record in 4K, but we're trying to stream in 4K today. Hopefully it doesn't work. Hopefully it does work and my computer doesn't explode, but I think we're going to be good. I got a new graphics card. So we're going to see if it works, but praise the Lord. It's going to be a great night. We're on episode 194. What? 194 of our Monday nights. Used to be called Friday Night Fire back in the day. If you know, you know. We're on episode 194. I just can't wait for the day where it's like episode 1000, episode 2000. Let's get to 200 before we worry about 2000. But thank you guys for being here. I appreciate your time. Your time is valuable. And so I just really, really appreciate all of you being here. Tomorrow night is a very special night. What is tomorrow night? Does anybody know what's happening tomorrow? Tomorrow, my book comes out. It was supposed to come out on election night, but we thought it'd be better to push it back a week. Tomorrow, my book comes out. Super excited for that. We're going to do like a deliverance Q&A hangout, and the book is out. So you can order it now. You'll get it probably tomorrow or Wednesday, but I'm going to be pushing that, talking about that. I have like 3 interviews on Wednesday. I'm doing a bunch of interviews for different Christian television shows and radio shows. And so excited about that. All of you that are getting the book, please make sure you leave a review, which I'll talk about tomorrow, but please leave a review on Amazon if you are ordering the book. January 26th, I'll be at Without Walls Church in Mesa, Arizona. And then soon I will be at Lifesong in Stockton, California. I'll announce that. I don't have the exact date yet, but I will have that date soon for you guys. So look out for that and be excited about that. Thursday, we have our prayer meetings at 1:30 and we go live at noon. So we're live Monday at 6, Tuesday at 6, Thursday at noon. And I'll talk to you guys a little bit about the lives after the broadcast and some stuff that we got going on. But let me know in the chat where you're watching from. I'm excited to share the word with you guys. It is raining all day today, so I've been stuck inside preparing and getting ready for this broadcast. We're going to have a great topic. I know a lot of you say, Isaiah, you talk a lot about demons. You talk a lot about hell and all that. And I do, because number one, there's a lot of people going to hell. And number two, there's a lot of people that have demons. And number three, the Bible says most people actually go to hell. So that's something that we need to talk about, and it's something Jesus warned people of. So I won't apologize for talking about deliverance a lot. People aren't talking about it, so I'm going to. I won't apologize for preaching about hell. Pastors aren't preaching about it, so I'm going to. And guess what? Jesus talked about it all the time. So this is something we need to discuss. But tonight we're talking about somewhere else, and this is, I can't think of a more powerful, important, and significant location that has ever existed or will ever exist. Well, we'll talk about that. But it's an actual location, and it's heaven. This is a place that we all, God willing, if we are true born-again believers, this is where we're going. So we're looking forward to going somewhere. This place, earth, is not your permanent residence. The Bible says that we are just pilgrims, that we are only passing through this place, but we have a future to look forward to. We have a hope to look forward to. There's a place called heaven, and the entire world is fascinated by the afterlife. There's something in the heart of every single person longing to go somewhere. Longing, you know, even an atheist knows this. They can deny all they want. Earth is not all there is. There's another life. There's another place designed for you. The Bible calls it heaven, that the believer is going to go. So if you are a believer, be excited about this. When I had Don Piper on and he shared how he spent 90 minutes in heaven, I was so excited to hear the story because I know that's where I'm going. This is the aim. This is where we're going. We're going somewhere forever. And our carnal mind, one of the reasons why we don't worry about eternity enough or talk about it enough or think about it enough, if you're part of our community, I talk about it all the time. I'm always talking about eternity is all that matters. Don't worry about life on earth. Life on earth is passing by and fleeting. one of the reasons why, if we're not careful, we won't think about heaven, we won't think about hell, we won't think about the afterlife. One of the reasons is our mind is finite and we can't process forever. If you lay in bed at night and think about forever, like I'm going somewhere forever, your mind kind of just resets. It's hard to comprehend that we're going to go somewhere forever. It's hard to comprehend that life on earth here is extremely temporary, is but a vapor. But eternity is where we're going. And all of us have that in common. All of us have this in common. We're all going somewhere forever and there will be an afterlife. Every single one of us one day will breathe our last breath and go somewhere. The Bible says when you're absent from the body, you're present with the Lord. That's the promise to the believer. And I always think about when somebody dies tragically, like the day that they die, when they woke up in the morning, they didn't know that this would be their last day. They didn't know this would be the last day they got dressed, the last day they walked out of the house, the last day they kissed their family goodbye, the last day they got in the car. Like when you pass away, most people, they don't have a deathbed experience where they're able to know they're going to die. Most people die suddenly and often tragically and don't have time to plan. So don't have the mindset that I have time to plan. Don't have the mindset, and share this broadcast, please text it to a friend or family. Don't have the mindset that I have time to get ready. Like you are one breath away, friend. Eternity, if you're taking notes, is closer than you think. And eternity is somewhere. You're going somewhere. The Bible says that a wise man thinks about death constantly, but a fool only worries about today. It's not unhealthy to think about eternity every single day. It's not unhealthy to think about where you're going forever. In fact, it's unhealthy to not think about eternity. It's amazing how, and I've said this before, we spend weeks, me too, planning our vacations, where we're going to go, what hotel we're going to get, what car we're going to go, where we're going to eat. We want to know about the destination. We want to know about the destination that we're spending time at. If you're planning a vacation, you want to know, where do we park? How do we get parking? Is there a parking pass? Do we get bracelets? Do we get wristbands? Can we get rides all day for this? Do we have to get tickets ahead of time? What kind of hotel are we staying at? Is it 2-star, 3-star, 4-star? Is there cockroaches? Is there not? Where are we going to be eating at? What's the rating on Yelp? I mean, we go down meticulously to worry about the destination we're going to spend 1 week. Yet many of you have never even considered planning your eternity. Many of you haven't even considered planning the afterlife. I'm planning the afterlife right now. I'm worried about building up treasures in heaven. I'm worried about where I'm going to spend forever. As you were saying in the chat, the clock is ticking. My next breath could be my last breath. Every breath I take is a breath closer to standing before God on judgment day and either going to heaven or going to hell. Tonight, we're going to talk about hell. We're going to talk about heaven. So this isn't a hell broadcast. It's a heaven broadcast. But we have to think about, man, I'm going somewhere. My life is short and I need to know the destination. The Bible has a lot to say about heaven, yet we don't even think about it often. And I don't want the mindset that all I'm worried about is where I'm going when I die. Because Jesus said, pray that God's will and God's kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So there's a tension. Am I longing to go to heaven? Yes. Am I longing to be in the afterlife with Christ? Yeah, I'm excited. Death is graduation, but on the same token, I have a lot of work to do here, so I'm here for a reason. Paul was like, I want to go to heaven, but for your sake, I'm still here to preach the gospel. But Paul longed to go stand with God and be with God in heaven, which we will one day. I mean, think about that. If you're a believer, one day you will be in eternity with God. One day, maybe I don't know you here. There's thousands of you in the chat every week. I don't know all of you. I want to. I see your names. I meet some of you at events. But guess what? If you're a Christian, we are going to spend forever together. We have plenty of time to talk about what God did on earth, which I will talk about. Will you even remember that? But it's going to be a powerful time. We need to consider this place. We need to talk about this place. We need to look forward to this place. It's great assurance when you're going through hard times that these hard times are only passing. I want you to realize this right now. If you're going through cancer, if you're going through sickness, if you're just having a hard time in life, rest assured that this is only temporary. It won't always be this way. there's coming a day where every tear will wipe away, where you're going to have a brand new body. Praise the Lord. Is anybody tired of this body that you have, that we're going to strip out of this body like a tent and we're going to be in a brand new glorified body where there will be no back pain? Praise God. There will be no neck pain. There will be no anxiety and fear, cancer, depression, suicide. None of that will exist. You're going to be in heaven in a mansion where, guess what? You're not going to have those annoying neighbors. You're not going to have those annoying neighbors in heaven. All these things we deal with on this in this life. Financial stress, not going to be in heaven. Anger, not going to be in heaven. Turmoil in your family, not going to be in heaven. Constantly working 8 to 12 hour shifts, overtime, tired, wore out, ready to go to heaven. All right, you're not going to have that. It's going to be a place of perfect comfort and a perfect peace. And you need to make sure that's the place you're going. There should be a similar response when we share this with our friends and when our family is that we want them there. This should be our response. We want them there. I want my family in heaven with me. I want my kids in heaven with me. I want my friends in heaven with me. I want them to experience this place. Of course, one of the reasons is I don't want them to go to hell, which is a terrible place. But another reason is I don't want to be in heaven without them. I don't want to be in heaven without my kids. I don't want to be in heaven without my wife. This motivates me to share my faith. This motivates me to pray. You need to ask the Lord tonight, God, I want a burden for the lost and broken. God, give me a burden. God, let it keep me up at night that people are hurting and lost and broken and dying and going to hell. And I'm living selfishly and not sharing my faith with anybody. Guys, our job is to populate heaven. As a believer, you are ambassador of Christ. You are called to fill up heaven with the good news and the gospel. And the only way we're going to fill up heaven is by sharing the good news of Jesus. To see lives changed. To see souls saved. To see people redeemed. Think about this. 150,000 to 200,000 people die every single day. And they're going somewhere. And the alarming fact about that is, I hope this is waking some of you up tonight, is that the Bible says most of them do not go to heaven. That's alarming. Does that make you mad? Maybe. Should. Probably. Does that make me frustrated? Absolutely. Is that heartbreaking? Yes. Whose fault is it? Not God's. It is not God's fault that the road that leads to life is narrow. Do you know why most people go to hell and don't go to heaven? Because in our own human nature, we're rebellious creatures. We're arrogant creatures. We're full of pride. We're puffed up and born into sin. We choose the broad road as people. We choose, this world chooses to reject God. God doesn't want no one to go to hell. God wants every person to go to heaven. But does that mean every person goes to heaven? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. He says, I don't want anyone to perish. And in fact, the Bible actually tells us why the Lord hasn't come back. Peter says, scoffers are going to say, where's the Lord? Why hasn't he returned? Where is he at? You guys keep saying, oh, one day the Lord's going to come back and they're going to make fun. And Peter goes, you know why that he hasn't come back? He's being patient for your sake because he doesn't want no one to perish, but wants everybody to come to repentance. The current death rate, if you're taking notes, is 100%. Every single person will die. There's no escaping this. We're all mortal. All of our lives are fragile. Any moment we can pass into eternity. Like, getting in the car is extremely dangerous. We don't often think about, what if every time you got in the car, you thought about, I could go to heaven at any moment. I could go into eternity at any moment. Like, think about how we'd live our lives if we weren't so focused on the now and the pleasures of this life. What if we lived like people from another world, longing to go there and trying to get everybody we can there? I don't want the mindset of, well, heaven's just going to be all that I'm worried about. I'm just going to wait around, do nothing, be lazy. Our mindset should be the actual opposite, is that I'm going to do everything I can now because I want everybody around me to go to heaven with me. That should be the mindset. It shouldn't make us lazy. It should make us urgent. And sometimes as Christians, we just get saved. We've made it so easy. We've made the bar. It blows my mind that we've lowered the bar so low to be a disciple and to go to heaven. And I just don't see that in the New Testament. I don't see that in the Gospels. Show me in the Gospels where Jesus lowered the bar so low and said, Everybody goes, just pray the sinner's prayer. It's not hard to get there. It's not hard to be saved. That is not what the Bible teaches. Jesus said in Luke 13, difficult is the narrow gate. It's hard. How many are going to be saved, they ask. I just preached on that at the Breakers. How many will be saved? And Jesus goes, few. It's difficult to enter through the narrow gate. Yet now we have this modern day demonic doctrine. They call it free grace. I call it false grace. It's this easy gospel. It's like, it's a just believe. It's easy believism. Just believe in Jesus and you can do whatever you want. Still go to heaven. That is not the gospel Jesus taught. That is not. Call me, oh, brother, are you workspace? Call me whatever you want. I'm preaching what Jesus preached. You can call that workspace. Do you know if Jesus was here today? I promise you, every one of these lukewarm, watered down, false gospel YouTubers that say, Isaiah preaches workspace, you don't have to do anything, just pray the sinner's prayer and believe and you're fine, even though the Bible doesn't teach that, every single one of them would do a video on Jesus and they would say, this man Jesus preaches a workspace salvation. I promise you, every one of them would claim Jesus is workspace because they've made it. We've made it so easy in America to be a Christian. And you know what the Bible says? Even the demons believe and tremble. You say you believe, James says. Guess what? Even the demons believe. It doesn't make you elite because you believe. And some of you are going to stand before God and say, well, I believe. He's going to go, yeah, but your life wasn't different. You didn't let the gospel change your life. You were never born again. Nicodemus, you must be born again. Imagine Jesus. Why didn't Jesus just pray the sinner's prayer, Nicodemus? Pray the sinner's prayer, invite me in your heart and just believe. I'll come and build a treehouse in your heart. That's what he told Nicodemus. He said, you must be born again or you won't even perceive the kingdom. James says, you say you have faith, but there's no works. There's no evidence. That's why Paul said, show evidence you're among those God has called and chosen. Don't just say you're a believer. Don't just say you're a believer. There has to be evidence in your life. Yeah, it's not difficult. It's free. Salvation is free, but it costs everything. And it costs God everything. Jesus said, don't just say you love me, obey me. It's not just the, oh, I could do whatever I want. Salvation is 1,000% free. It's not by works, lest any man boast. But do not tell me you've received salvation if there's no life change, if there's no evidence in our lives. That is what the gospels are. That is what the Bible teaches. You will not find the free grace gospel in the scriptures. You'll find a couple scriptures people have perverted to make it seem what they say, what they want to say. But the road is narrow that leads to life. That's the gospel Jesus taught. Who are we looking to? Some YouTuber with 94 subscribers? Or a YouTuber with a million subscribers? Or Jesus? We're looking to Jesus. What did Jesus teach? He taught the road is difficult. Life is fleeting. It's escaping. That's why Psalms 39:4. David said, teach me to number my days. Let me know. This is what David said in Psalms 39:4. Let me know how fleeting my life is. You've made my days a handbreadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Each man's life is a breath. Think about that. David said, my life is a breath. My entire life can be summed up into this. That's my life. One breath. And that's how short my life is compared to eternity. It's gone. It's here one day and gone tomorrow. Like I thought about this just raising my kids, being at home, doing different things. And I'm like, my life is so quick. I'm one breath away from eternity. My life is but a vapor. It's passing by. Like I'm dying. My life is fleeting. You blink and it's over. Guys, some of you are 70 or 80. Can you let the chat know how fast life is? Who in this chat is 60, 70, 80, 90? And you're like, I'm 65 and yesterday I was 15. Let us know if you're 70 plus. Are you in the chat? Represent. Let us know how fast your life went. I'm only 33. I'm like, life is fast. It's one breath. It's fleeting. It's here one day and gone tomorrow. Welcome, Brian, for the first time to live stream. Life is fast. How fast is life? It's just gone. And where am I going? What am I spending my time on? Lord, teach me that my life is a breath. I'm not trying to depress you. I want you to feel the weight of the seriousness that we need to seize the day. Enjoy your kids. Enjoy living for God. Don't be so distracted by the television and the TV and the phone and the social media. Sometimes I'm so frustrated with how much time I spend on my phone. I'm like, man, my life is so fast. I'm like, let me know if you're older. And everyone's like, I'm 24, I'm 30. No, I'm talking about the older people in the chat. Kathleen 76, she said, it's fast. It's fast. I remember my grandma telling me, like, I still feel young. My grandma said, I still feel young on the inside. I don't feel like I'm in my 80s. I feel young still. And that's what happens with life is we're just, you realize as you get older, how quickly life goes. And here's the beauty though. If you are older, is you're closer to being with Christ than even me, possibly, if I actually get 60, 70, 80 years, which that's not even guaranteed. That's not even guaranteed. I got to make sure I know where I'm going. And Jesus said in John 14, 1, this is good news. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Because I know I'm like dumping this on you and you're like, oh, now I'm stressed out. Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Look at what he says here. Trust in God. Look at this. Trust in God, but also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I wouldn't have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me that you may also be where I am. Jesus says this, I am preparing something for you right now. As a believer, you're a true blood-washed, born-again believer. Jesus says, I'm preparing a place for you right now. I'm getting a house ready for you. I'm making room. Now, we don't know if this is going to be literal mansions like we've always been taught and thought, but here's what he's saying. I'm making room for you. There's room for you in my Father's house. In this place called heaven, I'm making a spot for you. I'm making a place for you. And this place, no matter what you're going through now, sickness will fade away in this place. Depression will fade away. Fear will fade away. Hate, envy, racism, bitterness, non-existent. There's coming a day where every tear will be wiped away. There's preparation happening right now. And Jesus wants you, some of you tonight have the fear of death. You know what I believe is going to happen tonight? Some of you are going to get delivered from the fear of death as you understand how amazing heaven is. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. If you are afraid of dying, write Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 down. It says that. It says this. So that by his death, he might destroy him who holds the power of death. That is the devil. And free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Think about that. The Bible says God's going to destroy him. That is the devil. Hebrews 2, 14. And free those who their entire life we're held in slavery by the fear of death. It's a real thing to be afraid of death. Man, I'm worried about dying. I'm scared. I'm anxious. A lot of you are. You're anxious about dying. The thought of death makes your heart race. You're up at night. You're thinking all the time about, am I dying? Am I going to die? Do I have cancer? Do I have something? I have a pain in my chest. Am I dying? And you know what the Bible says? Jesus delivers you from the fear of death. Receive that deliverance right now. Lord, I receive that deliverance. I want to be delivered from the fear of death. He delivers you from the slavery, because it's slavery. It's no wonder 1 Corinthians 15, 55 says, death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? Death has lost. Know that. Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave. A relationship with Christ will deliver you from the fear of death. Now, if you don't have a relationship, of course, you should fear death. If you have no relationship with Christ, of course you should fear death. Of course you should. If you don't know Jesus, you're gambling. Do not mess with this any longer. Do not play around any longer. This is no game. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to get saved. Now is the time to go on for God. Don't take chances any longer. Satan doesn't want you looking forward to heaven. He doesn't want you even knowing heaven's real. That's why Revelation 13, 6 says the satanic beast opened his mouth and blasphemed God and slandered his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. The devil slanders heaven. Why? Because he got kicked out. This is why he's so mad when we talk about heaven, when we think about heaven, and that you're going to heaven. The devil wants to do everything in his power to make sure you do not arrive at this final destination called heaven. The devil's goal is to keep you out of the place that he got kicked out from. He'll never go be able to live there. There's some debate whether he could access there because we know in Job he was able to access there. But here's the bottom line. He'll never be able to live there. And the fact that you're on your way to live there makes him so mad he's doing everything in his power even now to blaspheme God, to slander his name, to slander heaven, and he slanders those who live in heaven. He blasphemes those that live in heaven. This is how much he hates it. He loves to slander God. He loves to slander the church. He hates heaven. He doesn't want us thinking about it or talking about it, and he's bitter that you're going to be able to go there. And there's nothing he can do. You better tell the devil, there's nothing you can do to stop me from getting to this place. I'm getting there. I'm going there. Nothing's going to stop me. Don't let these petty things in life stop you. You know how crazy this is? Some of you have let a boyfriend stop you from your final destination of heaven. You've allowed fornication, think about this, to stop you because the Bible says, oh, you're preaching workspace. Again, go cry somewhere else. The Bible says fornicators will not inherit the kingdom of God. You will not go to heaven if you're a fornicator. That's what the Bible says. Idolaters, those that worship idols, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Thieves, liars, cheaters, blasphemers, homosexuals, don't get mad at me. Don't shoot the messenger. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. And we have a lot of well-meaning pastors telling people that are biblically going to hell that they're going to heaven. But I don't want to sell you short here. I will not be a liar where you go stand before God and because I lied and taught you the false gospel narrative that you end up going to hell thinking because of my sermons you are going to heaven. I would rather preach a strong level, a strong standard that Jesus taught, and you'd be like, I want to make sure I'm going there, then lower the bar so low and you think you're going to heaven, but you're actually going to hell. That's what the greasy grace, false gospel message has been doing in America. We've taught people that are not born again, they are born again. We've taught people that are not saved that they are saved. And we give people a false assurance. And there's many, 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 many people that think they're going to heaven. They think they're on the narrow road, but they're on the broad road. And they're going to hell. And it's heartbreaking. And it's the reason why I get on here and I'm shouting and I'm screaming. And for the last 6 years, I've dedicated my life to going online and trying to wake people up. And the last 13 years doing this, from the moment I got saved, I got to tell everybody about this. I got to tell everybody, I got to shout from the mountaintop. Me going online is me saying, I got to reach the maximum amount of people. If there's 100 in the live, if there's 1,000, if there's 3,000, if there's 3, it doesn't matter. The road is narrow. Somebody has to proclaim that message. The devil's lied to you. The devil's told you, oh, don't you think he wants you to think you're saved when you're not? Don't you think he's, okay, Jesus says, the road that leads to life is difficult and narrow, and few find it. Say all you want about it. It's easy, brother. I know some of you in the chat were like, it's easy, it's free, it's not hard. Say whatever you want. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. The way that leads to life, narrow, difficult, few, and hard. Those are the words the Bible describes to get to the Father's house. Please don't tell me you know how to get to God's house better than him. I'm pretty sure Jesus knows the road that leads to the Father's house. There's a road. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the way. He knows how to get there. And some of you are like, I would rather take directions from a YouTuber than Jesus. Jesus goes, here's how to get to heaven. Here's how to get to my Father's house. And you're like, I'll just trust a YouTuber that preaches a false greasy grace and says I can live however I want. I think he knows how to get there better than you, Jesus. Or you can say, I'm actually going to follow Jesus's way. He said in Luke 13, he said in Matthew 7, this is the road that leads there. So I want to be on the straight and narrow road, and it's not an easy road. And if you're a genuine Christian, you know how hard it is. You know how hard it is to swim upstream, am I preaching, in a world that's pushing against you. It's not an easy thing. And those guys are like, it's easy. They lie. They're liars. And the truth is not in them, says the Bible. That's why James goes on this whole thing like, you say you're a Christian, but you have no works. You say you have faith, but it's not saving faith. And he's going like, faith without works is dead. Keep saying you're saved, but you're not actually saved because there's no fruit in your life. There's no evidence of your salvation. You could say all you want that you're saved, but what truly is makes it genuine is there evidence that you have a relationship? You have a relationship because nobody comes to the Father without going through Jesus. If you have no relationship with Jesus, you're not going to the Father. You're not making it to heaven. It's the Father's house. Jesus said, my Father's preparing a place for you. This is why Jesus said, I'm going to be calm about this, but this is chilling. If you deny me on earth, I will deny you before my Father in heaven. So you can say you're a believer. You can believe the greasy grace that you prayed a prayer in sixth grade and you're saved, and whatever you want to do, you can keep fornicating, living a homosexual lifestyle, partying, sleeping around, stealing, lying, being an idolater, being an adulterer. You can do all those things. You can believe that lie, or you can say, wait a minute, I got to go through Jesus. And if I have a genuine relationship with Jesus, there's going to be this thing in my life called conviction. Conviction, where it hurts me to sin. It hurts me to do things wrong. Like, oh God, I'm sorry. I'm grieving you, Holy Spirit. I'm doing things I shouldn't be doing. That's conviction. The Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin and of righteousness. But guys, where's the conviction in our hearts? We're all going, I'm heaven bound, but there's no conviction. There's no change. There's no evidence in my life that I'm on the narrow road. Do you look down and say, I'm on the narrow road? I'm living different. I'm called out. God's called me out of darkness. I'm no longer doing what everybody else is doing. I'm no longer drinking the Kool-Aid of this world. I'm no longer going downstream. I'm going upstream. I'm washed by the blood of Jesus. I'm different. I'm not like everybody else. We have a new life. We're raised a new life in Christ. This is why Colossians 3, set your sights on the realities of heaven. Think about heaven. Talk about heaven. Think about the things of heaven. That's what Colossians 3 says. Don't think about the things of earth. Think about the things of heaven. Heaven is our final destination. Set our mind on heaven. God, I want to be with you forever. I'm living my life in light of eternity. What am I doing now that's going to matter in 1,000 years? What am I going to do now? I want to make sure I'm going there. I want to have a relationship with Christ. I want to know him. If you don't know if you're saved or not, it's likely you're not. You got to have a relationship. You shouldn't be walking like, I don't even know. Guys, how would you not know if you're in a relationship with somebody? Of course, you need to believe in Jesus. You need to believe in the finished work of the cross. You need to tell Jesus, you're my master. You're my Lord. You need to repent of your sin. You need to go get baptized. Not so you can be saved, but because you're saved. They would get saved and then get baptized. Acts chapter 10. So it's not like, oh man, I'm doing these things to get saved. No, 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 no. I'm doing these things because I'm saved. That's true works. I'm not, let me break it down because I think some of you are still confused and I'm reading the chat. I think some of you are still confused thinking I'm preaching workspace. Let me break it down for you. I am not preaching so that I can get saved. I'm preaching because I'm saved. I am not baptizing people so I could do works so I could be saved. Because works do not gain you salvation. You do not get saved from your works. You work because you're saved. I'm not laying hands on the sick so I can do works so I can get saved. I'm doing it because I love him and because I'm saved. I'm not going and getting baptized so that I could get saved in the baptismal. I'm getting baptized because I've been saved and I want to make a statement, let everybody know. I'm not taking communion to get saved. I'm doing it in remembrance of him. This is not, communion is not a saving act, unlike the, contrary to what the Catholic Church teaches. Communion is because I'm saved and Jesus said clearly, do this in remembrance of me. It's all out of relationship, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not trying to works-based. What do you mean? All that I'm doing for the Lord is because I'm saved, not so I can get saved. I'm doing it out of a relationship with him. That's why we're doing it. Works are not how you get saved. They're evidence you've already been saved. Jesus paid the final price. Jesus did the work. There's no work on our part to get us saved. But how do I know I'm saved? There's evidence in my life. What's the evidence? The evidence is a life changed. Works in my life. Doing things for God, living for God, praying. You know how many Christians are Christian but don't pray? Okay, hold on. So you're in relationship with Jesus. You're gonna die and go to heaven, but you never talk to him. So you're a Christian that never prays, but you're a Christian because you prayed the sinner's prayer because a free grace YouTuber told you that all you have to do is just pray a prayer and believe. You don't have to do anything for God in your life. And now you're going to stand before God when you die. And so the second time you ever talk to God will be judgment day. Because the first time was when you prayed the prayer, Jesus, please come in my heart, which again is not in the Bible. I've said that a million times. I'm going to keep saying it till I die. That was invented about 100 years ago. It's not in the Bible. Early church did not teach the sinner's prayer. Go read the early church. You'll never find the word sinner's prayer. Just saying. Okay. So you prayed the prayer. You never talked to God or prayed. Now you're going to stand before God and be like, let me in, bro. And he's going to be like, I don't even know you. You want me to let you in heaven, but we never talked. You are a liar, a cheater, a fornicator, an idolater, a thief, and every other thing. Let me ask you this. Let me just show you how preposterous this sounds. You knock on my door tonight. I get off my stream at, 7:30, 7:40, whatever. You knock on my door and you go, hey, bro, can I come live with you? I know you have four daughters and a wife, and I want to come live with you. I'm a liar. I'm a cheater. I'm a thief. I'm an idolater. I'm a known pedophile and a child abductor, and I've broken every law. Because that's what all of us have done in our sin. And you're expecting me, someone who has no relationship with you. I have no clue who you are. What are you even asking? You want me to come let you live with me? And then let's go even farther. You want me to come let you live with me forever? You're crazy. You bumped your head. Yeah, that's how a lot of you think you're going to be on judgment day. No relationship with God. Now, same scenario. But my brother comes over and says, hey, bro, I'm falling on hard times. You know me. I live a clean life. I'm a Christian. I've served the Lord. Can I come live with you? Of course, bro. As long as you need. Come on in. As long as you need. Why? Why am I so prone to invite my brother in to live with me, but not some random guy who's broken every law? Because I know him. I have a relationship with him. We talk every day. We know each other. So here's the thing. Thank God for the shed blood of Jesus, because now because of his blood, I'm able to even go to heaven. There's no way for me to even go to heaven if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus. But we have to have a relationship. We have to have a relationship with God. And what the world doesn't understand about heaven is not your default. And I'm taking way too long tonight. I'm like, ugh, I'm not even halfway done with my notes here. Jared, I might be a little bit late tonight for the stream, but here we go. Heaven is not your default destination. Your default destination is hell. By default, you are born into sin and iniquity and in righteousness. And by default, now I don't believe children go to hell. I believe there's an age of accountability. What age is that? Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Someone said, I disagree. Praise the Lord. Go on your live stream, go on your channel, go live and tell everybody live why you disagree with me on your own channel. Praise God. Thanks for being here. This is my channel, so I get to preach what I want to preach and say how I want to say it. Your default destination is not heaven, it's hell. We're born into sin. Again, I don't believe kids go to hell. I personally believe every kid goes to heaven. At what age are we accountable? I don't know. I think every person's different. Every person's different cognitively. Every person's different mentally. There's some people that are 40 that have mental disabilities that have the maturity of a five-year-old. I don't think God judges that person the same as a person who's 40 that's fully mentally aware. So I don't know the age, but I don't believe any kid goes to hell. But I do know that by default, humans are hellbound. God is not sending you there. You're already going there. If you are an adult here tonight or you're late teens, then guess what? You're going somewhere and your default is hell. But Christ makes a way where there is no way. Romans 3:23 says, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sin cannot enter the presence of God. So because of our sin, we are not able to gain entrance into this beautiful place called heaven. So heaven is not our default destination if there's sin in our life. There's not one person, think about this, in heaven accidentally. Nobody's there like, wow, I didn't even know about this place. This is amazing. No, that doesn't happen. Nobody is on heaven accidentally, but there's billions of people that are in hell accidentally. Didn't know they were going there. Didn't think it was real. Heaven is not like that. Many people are shocked when they're in hell. Nobody's shocked when they get to heaven. Nobody's like, I can't believe I'm here. You're going to know if you know, you know. Every single person in heaven is there because their issue of sin has been resolved by the work that Jesus did on the cross. I'm preaching. That's a sermon right there. Every person in heaven is there because the issue of sin has been resolved by what Jesus did on the cross. I know many times we go to funerals and they say, this person's in a better place. And the person was completely wicked, completely evil. That's a lie. Pastors, we got to stop lying at funerals. Okay, don't say that. We know they're in a better place. For a lot of these people that were doing funerals, they're actually not in a better place. They're in a way worse place because they didn't go to heaven because they weren't believers. It's imperative that you know that you're going to heaven. Well, how do I know? Well, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Have you repented of your sin? Have you given your life to God? Has there been a change in your lifestyle? Have you picked up your cross? These are not all exclusive questions, but it's a great place to start. Yeah, I do have a relationship with Jesus. Yeah, I have repented of my sin. Yeah, I have put my faith in the finished work of the cross. Yeah, I have received the Lord into my life. Okay, that's a great place to start. Then you're not going to you're not going to hell if that's you. If that's you, you're not going to hell. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. This is a gift. We don't earn it. We don't earn our way into heaven. Jesus is the way. The narrow road is the road. Jesus is the gate. He's the way. And the way we receive it is by putting our faith in Christ, his blood, his righteousness, and walking with him. Why can't we preach both? Why do I have to be either works-based or free grace? Why can't we be free grace and we believe in works? That's what the gospel teaches. It's not one or the other. It's both. I believe in the free grace. I believe it's not by our works. And I also believe we should have works. Guys, does it have to be one or the other? We don't have to keep fighting about it. It could be both. We have both. We have both in our life. That's the beauty. That's the beauty. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Christ who had no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. This is the great exchange. We get his righteousness. He took on our sin. Acts 4:12. Salvation is found in no one else but Jesus. There's no other name under heaven given to man which we must be saved. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the way. Now, before I go into, and I won't go crazy long because I didn't plan to talk about that for 40 minutes about eternity and all that. Before I go into what heaven is like, what the Bible teaches, I need you to know this, okay? And some people, just stay with me because I'm gonna give you all the verses. Just many of you haven't been taught this. The heaven that's currently happening right now, okay? If you die right now, you go to either heaven or hell. There's a temporary hell, which is called Hades, that you go. Now, it's not temporary in the sense that you're not there forever. You're there forever. If you go to hell, you're there forever. There's no escaping hell. Many entrances, zero exits, okay? But we know, and I've taught you guys this before, the Bible says in Revelation that the hell, when I call it temporary, I don't mean in time. I mean, it's literally temporary because there's gonna be a new hell. We know that the current hell, the Bible says, will get thrown in the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the eternal version of hell. Nobody's in the lake of fire yet. But one day, everybody in Hades, current hell, will get thrown in the lake of fire along with the false prophet, the Antichrist, and the beast, and the devil, and all of them. Okay, they're all going to get thrown in the lake of fire. Okay, in the same way, and I'm going to show you the verse, so don't get all like, oh, this is false teaching. Just stay with me. The heaven right now, not in the sense of time, but in the sense of reality, is temporary. If you die right now and you go to heaven, because you will if you're a believer and you're in heaven right now, because there is a heaven right now where God is on the throne, Jesus at the right hand of the Father, the seraphim, the angels, all that, 24 elders, bow down and worship. We know, right? That's happening right now. It's real. It's alive and well, going on. There's many angels. Praise the Lord. Can't wait to go. Some of you, your family and friends are there. But it's temporary. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and it'll pale in comparison. The current heaven now will pale in comparison to the new heaven and the new earth. Okay, so watch this. Revelation, so before I tell you about the heaven now, let me just tell you that the heaven now is going to be passing away. Very important verse, Revelation 21, verse 1. Now I saw, and I'm going to quote this word for word, okay? So start quote. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and first earth passed away. And there was no more ocean. Say, so very important. We are in the time of the first earth and the first heaven. Go watch my whole book of Revelation teaching, end times teaching, if you want to learn about all that. There's a first heaven and there's a first earth. That's the era that we're living in. One day, this earth will be gone. There's going to be a new earth. Okay? Stay with me. And a new heaven called the New Jerusalem. the new heaven will come down out of the sky onto the new earth, and we will live with God and dwell with God forever and ever in the new Jerusalem, the holy city. Isaiah predicted this in Isaiah 65 and Isaiah 66. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, Matthew 24, 35. Peter said, the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the earth will be burned up, 2 Peter 3:10. John had a glimpse of the new heaven, Genesis 1, 9 through 10, when God divided the water, created the seas, and caused the land to disappear. They'll be different from the original creation. When God divided the sea and created water and all that, this is different. John saw a glimpse of the new heaven and new earth. Not the same as what we see in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 9 through 10, where God created the earth. The new earth will not have an ocean on it. So now the earth we saw in Genesis 1, 9 through 10, where God created and divided the land, all that, that's not going to be the new heaven. Or I'm sorry, the new earth. So we know there will be a significant new earth. Now, we see in Revelation 21, verse 2 through 3, John says, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven. So he's going to see this new thing coming out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice saying, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and he himself will be with them and be their God. So he's going to see, John sees the new Jerusalem coming out of the sky to the new earth where God will dwell among his people. How cool is that? Where God's like walking among us. Oh, hey, there's God. God is walking among us in this new heaven and this new earth, this holy city called the New Jerusalem, where we are going to live. We are going to live with God, which is amazing. And that's found in Revelation 21, 4 through 8. It talks all about how in that time, there will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain. And then John's going to describe, I won't go into it because I don't have time to break it all down, but in Revelation 21, go later, he's going to describe exactly how the New Jerusalem looks. And this is incredible because he didn't have to describe it, yet he does. And before it's even made, quote unquote, for lack of a better term, John described what it's going to look like. I'll break it down for you, but I'm not going to read through verse by verse. I'll summarize it, okay? The main street of the New Jerusalem, which this is the new heaven, is pure gold. And in fact, let me just say this as well. We have more description over about the new Jerusalem and the new heaven than we do have the current heaven. We actually don't have a lot of description other than we know that God, Jesus is the Father's preparing a place and Jesus is going to prepare a place for us. But we don't really know a full description. We have more of a description of the new Jerusalem, which is the actual heaven, okay? The main street is pure gold. The gold is so pure, the Bible says it looks like glass. The city will have 12 pearly gates, each made from a single pearl. And John says the city sparkles like a precious stone and compares the city to crystal clear jasper. An angel will guard each one of the 12 pearly gates, and the gates will have the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. So 12 gates in the new Jerusalem, the new heaven, okay? 12 pearly gates, a single pearl. How big is that pearl? Crazy big, because you're about to see how big the gates are. And there'll be 12 gates around the city, and each gate will have the name of the 12 tribes of Israel. The city will have four sides with three pearl gates on each of its side. The city walls are broad and high with 12 foundation stones, and the names of the 12 apostles are written on each of the stones. Some of you have never known this because you've never read the book of Revelation, but it's amazing stuff. The new city will shine with the glory of God. There will be no sun. Think about that. There will be no shadow. The sun casts a shadow. So when you go outside, there's a shadow. There's no shadows in the New Jerusalem because there is no sun. God's glory will light up the city. This new city will shine with the glory of God, and its size is greater than any city in history. So think about the greatest city you've ever thought of. This is bigger. The New Jerusalem is 1,400 miles long, 1,400 miles wide, and 1,400 miles high. Think about that. You look up 14, not 5 miles. What's the tallest building? Somebody Google it. Google the tallest building in the world. Somebody let me know. 1,400 miles high. The walls of the city, look at this, 216 feet thick. That means the New Jerusalem is either a cube or a pyramid in shape. Imagine a city that takes up half of the United States and extends half of the United States up into the sky. The city's walls are jasper. The city itself is pure gold, gold as clear as glass. Each of its cities stone has precious stones. These are going to be jasper, sapphire, agate, emerald, onyx, carnelian, chrysolite, beryl, topaz. I don't even know how to say some of these stones. Jacinth, amethyst. This is what the city will be made out of. The human mind cannot comprehend the beauty of the city that we're talking about. Think about pure gold. Think about gold so pure, it's as clear as glass. Like, you could see through the gold. It's that refined. You can't even do that. You can't even do that on Earth. It's not even possible. An entire wall made of jasper. Like, this is the beauty of this new Earth that God is laying out for us. Again, the Bible doesn't say a lot about what is the current heaven, but it says a lot about the new Jerusalem. So the current heaven, we're going to see before the new heaven, Revelation 6:9. Says, when the Lamb opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls who had been slain because of the word of God and their testimonies. They called out in a loud voice saying, how long, sovereign Lord, until you judge the earth and avenge our blood? Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the number of their fellow servants had been killed and that had been completed. These people in Revelation 6:9 are martyrs that are under the throne of God in white robes. These people were killed for their faith during the tribulation period. They get a special white robe. They're asking the Lord, just to give you an idea of what's going on in heaven in this moment. This is not the New Jerusalem. This is the current heaven. We don't have a lot of text about it, so we have to take some of these texts to understand some things about the current heaven now. These guys have been martyred, guys and girls, in the tribulation. They're under the throne of God asking the Lord to judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge their blood. So they know, and they say, how much longer? And they're told, wait a little longer until more, basically, the full number of martyrs are complete before the Lord avenges the earth and pours out his wrath, okay? But they're aware of what's going on in the earth. They're saying, how much longer until you avenge us? So these are the ones, again, martyred for Christ, and they have a unique identity. So in heaven, they have a unique identity that correlates back to their life on earth, which means the people in heaven right now are not different people. But they are the same people that have been relocated to heaven. Okay, so this shows us that what you do on earth, this doesn't just relate to being martyred, but we're just using this text as a proof sample of we're unique in heaven. And by that I mean, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to be wiped like where it's like you're brand new or your life on earth didn't matter. You're kind of like this new being in heaven where nothing on earth mattered. No, you're going to be unique in heaven like you are unique on earth. I will still be, for lack of a better term, Isaiah Saldivar in heaven. So what I did for God on this earth is going to matter in heaven, right? Because these martyrs were still martyrs in heaven. Their life on earth, the fact that they were martyred mattered and they got a special reward, which was a white robe. And I don't know that I want to be martyred, but if I did get martyred, it's kind of cool. I get a white robe. I get something special in heaven to let people know, like, hey, I got martyred for the faith, right? But my point is, your identity, your unique identity in heaven correlates back to earth. So it's not like when you get to heaven, your memory's erased and you won't know what you did on earth. In heaven, you will be fully aware of what you did. I will be fully aware that I was a preacher. And you will be fully aware that you were a businessman, that you were a lawyer, that you were a school teacher, that you were a police officer, that you were a stay-at-home mom. Whatever it was, it'll be crystal clear. And probably this verse gives us the clearest idea that we will know what we did on earth. People will be in heaven will be identified and remembered for their lives on earth, because these people were identified as those that were slain because of the testimony they maintain. And you will be identified by what you did for God on this earth. In fact, your reward in heaven, your crown, and I have a whole video on multiple rewards. There's different types of crowns. I think I did a video on 5 crowns that you could receive in heaven by things you did on earth and what you need to do to get those crowns. So go watch my video on rewards in heaven, just YouTube, Isaiah Saldivar rewards in heaven, and you'll see how to earn each crown. But you will have a crown, you will have a reward based on what you did on earth or reflect what you did in heaven, okay? And in fact, in verse 10, they ask God to intervene on earth to act on their behalf. So people in heaven are free to ask God questions. We know that because in this verse, they ask God, Lord, can you intervene on our behalf in earth? And they're asking God questions, which means there's a need to learn in heaven. People go to heaven and they still desire understanding and they still pursue understanding. I personally believe that we will be in heaven and a trillion years will go by and we'll still be learning about God. And think about it, a trillion years will go by and the seraphim will look and say, holy, holy, holy. They still don't know him yet. He's holy. He's unlike anything else. I think we're going to be learning for all of eternity all there is to know, the depths and the unlimited knowledge of God. That's my personal opinion, but we're still going to be learning. I know this because if we automatically knew everything, we wouldn't need to ask questions, okay? So they're asking God, when will you avenge us? If we knew everything in heaven, they wouldn't need to ask the question, which means we don't know everything when we get to heaven. We'll be asking questions and learning. I wouldn't doubt if people were in heaven right now asking Jesus questions for millions of years, asking Jesus questions, asking God things, learning from him, him teaching us still, because they're still asking, meaning they don't know everything. And their question is, how long until you judge these people? Which points me to my next point. Do you remember life on earth when you're in heaven? The answer is yes. Not just because of what we just talked about. They remember their life on earth. They remember they were martyred. So you do remember your life on earth. But remember Luke 16:25, which talks about, sorry, there's like a hair in my mic and it keeps touching my mouth and it feels really weird. Okay, but remember in Luke 16:25, the rich man and Lazarus. It describes how God comforts us when we live in agony or pain. So there's no memory. So if there's no memory of bad things, why would we need to be comforted? Because God comforts this man in heaven. He lived his life. The story is about a man that lived his life in agony. He's begging in front of a guy's gate. The rich guy goes to hell. The poor guy goes to heaven. And God comforts the poor guy in heaven. So why would you need to be comforted if you don't remember life on earth? Now, a lot of people have been taught, well, you can't remember anything bad because the Bible says there's no more crying, no more tears. That's not until the very end of Revelation, where God makes the new heaven, the new earth. Then he wipes away our tears, wipes away all tears from the eyes, right? So the Bible says we're going to give an account when we die for the words that we spoke. Well, if we didn't remember anything from earth, how will we give an account? You see this? So there won't be a memory wipe. Some of you think like, I'm going to get wiped all my memories. Now, is it possible that you might get memories wiped from people that went to hell, so you're not in heaven thinking for all of eternity that, about all your friends that went to hell? That's likely. That's possible. But from all the near-death experiences I've studied, it's 100% of people that went to heaven knew who they were on earth, knew their friends and family, and were aware of their life on earth when they got to heaven. So you're not going to get your memories wiped. And I know this because the Bible says we're going to give account for words we spoke. How will we give an account for something we don't remember if our memory gets wiped before we get to heaven? See that? So I believe our memories will probably be even better in heaven than on earth. Like, I can't even remember what I ate yesterday. But the Bible says I'm going to take account for every word I spoke. So somehow I'm going to know every word I spoke, but I can't even tell you what I ate yesterday for lunch. So I think our memories are going to be increased and heightened. And it might be like, it might be that you remember everything in your life once you get to heaven. Now, again, to what memories are blotted out, I don't know. Does God have the ability to remove every bad memory? Of course he does. God can do whatever he wants. And these are spiritual things, so we don't know. But I'm fully convinced we'll have memory in heaven of our life on earth. Now, can people see what's happening on earth from heaven? This is much debated, but some people believe they can. Some people believe they don't. Revelation 19, the Bible says there's a roar and a great multitude in heaven are shouting hallelujah and praising God for specific events and judgments that took place on earth. So in Revelation 19, the people are praising God because there's things happening on earth that they're aware of, which is interesting. Revelation 18:20 says, when Babylon is brought down, an angel points to events happening on earth and says, so an angel's pointing to earth and saying, rejoice, O heaven, rejoice, saints and apostles and prophets. God has judged her for the way she treated you. So there is moments in Revelation where people in heaven can see what's going on earth. But does that mean that, like right now, it's like, my mom's looking down on me. Is that biblical? I don't fully know, but I do know there's moments in the Bible where people in heaven are able to look down. Doesn't mean we should be praying to them. Doesn't mean we should be trying to communicate with the dead or any of that. But there is an idea that, and there is good evidence that people in heaven can see specific events on earth. All right. Hebrews 12:1 tells us to run with perseverance for the race marked before us. And this is a mental picture of Greek competitions, which fans were sitting up in the ancient stadiums, and the fans in the stadiums would be called the great cloud of witnesses, right? And so the Bible says we're surrounded by this great crowd of witnesses that are basically cheering us on as we run the race. So I'm not fully convinced. I do personally think there's some type of awareness from people in heaven on what's going on earth, because again, in Revelation, they see what's going on earth and they're praising God for what he's doing on earth in the tribulation period, but I don't fully know. Now, maybe God blocks out the bad things and God only shows us glimpses, right? We know that angels in heaven can see the torment in hell, but it doesn't remove their joy. They're able to see people in hell tormented according to the Bible, but it doesn't remove their joy. And some quote, again, Revelation 21:4, well, how could you see bad things? Because he says he'll wipe every tear away. Well, yeah, that's about the new heaven and a new earth, not the current heaven. So the verse about he wipes away every tear from their eye is not relating to the heaven right now. It's relating to the future heaven. So again, not fully sure, but it does seem like there's a way to see. Now, will we become angels when we get to heaven? That's very popular. Some of you think you're going to be floating around, flying around like an angel. The answer is no. You're going to be relocated, but you're not going to get changed into an angel. Angels are angels and humans are humans. Angels will be there and they'll interact with us according to the book of Revelation, but they will not be. We will not become angels. We will get a new body though. 1 Corinthians 15:42-44 says that our earthly body is perishable and weak, but we'll be raised into spiritual bodies and new bodies. And it's interesting because when Don Piper went to heaven, he said that everybody there was the perfect age. Think about that. Everybody there is the perfect age. And I'm just going to say he felt like, I think he said it was like early 30s, which, hey, I'm 33, so I don't know, something like that. But he said like, you're basically in your prime. And I always thought like, wow, that's interesting because think about when babies die, right? Babies die and then you go, well, are they babies in heaven? I always thought that. But then I'm like, wait, that doesn't make sense. There's going to be a bunch of babies in heaven. But then Don Piper said he didn't see any babies, but he saw everybody at their perfect age. But then he goes back to, this is some of his evidence, not just that he had the experience, but he said that when Adam and Eve were in the garden, they weren't babies in the garden. Think about that. I was like, wow, that's interesting. They weren't teenagers in the garden. What age were they? The perfect age. The perfect age. Whatever the age of your prime is, I don't think you're even going to worry about what age am I in heaven, but we're all going to be the same and we're going to be perfect in spiritual bodies. But he felt like, and he saw his grandfather in heaven and his grandfather was the same age as him. They looked the same. But again, my point is there's no babies in heaven. There's no children in heaven. Everybody's a perfect age and that's God to decide. But I was like, wow, you're right. Because heaven is like the Garden of Eden, and the Garden of Eden, there was no ages and there was no specific like, you know, this person's 30, this person's 20. You're just the perfect age, the way God wants you to be. Well, we have families and friendships in heaven. You're going to receive a glorified body and you're going to be relocated to heaven, but it doesn't erase your history on earth. I believe my daughters will always be my daughters. So in heaven, I'm going to know those were my daughters. We will be family and we're going to know our family. And this is a lot of people have got to heaven and said, I knew my family when I got to heaven. I saw my grandparents. I saw my kids that had passed. So our family will still be our family when we get to heaven. God's not erasing, you know, everything when we get to heaven. Well, will there be marriage? Well, one group of religious leaders called the Sadducees tried to trick Jesus about marriage. And Jesus says this in Matthew 22:28. Now then, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven, since all of them were married to her? Christ replied, Matthew 22:30, at the resurrection, people will neither marry nor be given in marriage. They will be like the angels in heaven. Not be the angels in heaven, but be like the angels in heaven. The reason why he's saying they'll be like the angels in heaven, because the angels in heaven are married nor given into marriage. So the Bible doesn't teach there will be no marriage. It teaches there will be one marriage, and that's between Christ and his bride, and we're all a part of that. All right? So earthly marriage is merely an echo of the ultimate marriage between Christ and his church. And in heaven, we won't need marriage because that picture will be already fulfilled. Now in heaven, will I be aware of my wife? Like, say Alyssa, me here in heaven, right? Will I be aware she was my wife on earth? Absolutely. I believe so, but I believe there'll be no need for marriage because we'll be in the ultimate marriage with Christ. Okay, we'll still be best friends. We'll know each other in heaven. But the institution of human marriage will end because it fulfilled its purpose, and that is to be a shadow of Christ's relationship with us. So God usually doesn't replace his original creation, but when he does, he replaces it with something that is far better, never worse. So the notion that our relationship, friends, and family will be lost in heaven doesn't make sense, and it's unbiblical. So again, to reiterate, you're still going to know that was your wife, but there will be no need to be married because we're already going to be married with Christ, and that will be fulfilled. Right? But it's not going to be like, and no one's going to be getting married in heaven. We're going to be like the angels who aren't married and aren't given into marriage. Will heaven be boring? Of course not. Of course not. Heaven will not be boring. Heaven will not be boring because God is the creator of pleasure, excitement, passion, joy. Hell will be boring. It'll be torment. It'll be boring. But heaven will be everything enjoyable, everything fascinating, everything interesting. All of these things are derived from God. Without God, there's nothing interesting to do. Boredom, that will be one word that does not exist in heaven. You will never be bored in heaven. And it's not just going to be, some of you think, I'm just going to be worshiping all day. That's not all heaven is. And even if that is, that's going to be infinitely more pleasurable than anything that we can do on earth. A trillion years will go by and the word bored will not cross your mind. It's all about perspective. It's all about perspective. You have to understand, boredom doesn't exist in heaven. Religion has taught that Christianity is boring, but when we think of heaven, we will not think boring. And it's not God's fault that you're bored. If you're a bored Christian, it's not God's fault, it's your fault. There's nothing boring about the Bible. Nobody's ever seen somebody get out of a wheelchair and said, I'm bored. Nobody's ever cast out a demon and said, I'm bored. No one's ever seen somebody get baptized and said, I'm bored. The things that God has called us to do are never boring. We are boring. We are boring as believers. We are bored and we are dull. So it will not be boring. 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor heart of man imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. We can't even begin to scratch the surface about how incredible heaven is. But we must long for it. We must set our minds on it. We must look forward to it. Let's pray. Father, I pray tonight, God, that every single person in this broadcast, God, would know that they are heaven bound. God, let us have assurance of our salvation. Let us have assurance that we are going there. Now, if you're not going there, this is your time right now to turn from your sin. The Bible says in Acts, you must repent. They say, what must we do to be saved? You must repent. That's what Peter preached. That's what Jesus preached. Turn from your sin and turn to God and say, God, right now I need you. God, I need you in my life. God, I need you in my heart. God, I need you in my family. God, I need you. I surrender my life to you. Say that right now. If you want to be saved and you want to know where you're going, I want you to say, God, I give you everything. I surrender my life to you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I honor you. God, I'm going to give you my life. I'll give you everything, Lord. I want to follow you. I want to pick up my cross. In your own words, choose right now to follow him. Choose right now to serve him. Say, God, I need you. God, I need you in my life. This is your moment right now to turn to the Lord. This is your moment to serve him with everything in you, to worship him with everything in you, and say, God, I'm gonna serve you all the days of my life. I'm gonna serve you all the days of my life. Lord, I ask you for the Holy Spirit. God, I ask you for the Holy Spirit. Give me the Holy Spirit, Lord, and turn from your wicked ways. Ask the Lord to remove those wicked desires in you. Put your faith in the finished work of the cross. Confess with your mouth, Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you died for me. I thank you for dying for me. God, I give you my life. I need you in my life. I'm tired of being depressed, Lord. I'm tired of being angry and bitter. This is not some weak, cheap sinner's prayer. This is you saying, God will give you my life. God will give you my life. Come in now. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, I pray for those that aren't saved, Lord, that you would save them tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that every one of us that are on rocky, shaky ground that aren't assured of our salvation, God, let us be sure. Let us be sure of our salvation, God. Let us walk according to your commands. God, we'll serve you all the days of our life. We'll serve you, God, all the days of our life. We honor you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Come into our heart. Come into our life. Come and change us, God. Pour out your blood upon us, God. Wash us in your precious blood. We pray for every person watching on the replay, live in the chat, God, that we would be on that narrow road, and God, that we would end up in heaven. God, I want to end up in heaven. God, I pray that I would do everything I can to end up in heaven. God, I never want to go anywhere but heaven. I want to be with you forever. Pray that. Say, God, I want to be in heaven with you. Lord, if there's anything in my life that's cutting me off from getting there, remove it, God. Remove every idol, remove every hindrance, and remove everything in my life that is not of you and that is causing me to walk outside of your will. Outside of your will. God, I need you. Change me, Lord. Change me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I pray you guys are blessed by tonight. We're going to have worship and prayer in a little while on Jared and Candace's stream. I'm going to hang out and answer some questions and talk with you guys. I want you please to pray about partnering with our ministry. This is the time where we do offering. Please don't skimp out. We need your support. At the end of the year, you know, things are a struggle. I get it, right? For everybody. But we do need your financial support to keep doing these streams for the next year. So please pray about giving like a year-end gift or partnering with us. You can become a monthly partner if you're not. Pray about that. Talk to your spouse. Talk to your husband, your wife. It's good ground to sow into. We've been doing this for 6 years now, full-time. We don't charge for any of our content. We're crowdfunded. That literally means we're supported by the people that listen to our content. It's all free on YouTube. I know a lot of you can't afford to give, but I know a lot of you can. And so I want you to really be stretched. Give something sacrificially. You can give one time or monthly. IsaiahSaldivar.com/partner. All the links to give are in the chat. They're also down below in the description. Help us continue to do what we're doing. Tomorrow night, I'll read all the donations. I'll even read tonight's donations tomorrow night on stream. So leave me a little message there on Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, website. It's all there. I really appreciate you guys. We're living by faith. It's up. It's down. There's no guarantees. Nothing's ever guaranteed when we're doing this, right? We don't know if anyone's going to show up to the lives. We don't know if anybody's going to give. Some weeks, people give a lot. Some weeks, people don't give at all. But we're just living by faith. We're staying obedient. We're staying encouraged. We encourage ourselves in the Lord. It's so easy just being in front of a camera to get discouraged, but we just got to keep encouraging ourselves in the Lord. That goes for every single one of us. Just encourage yourself in the Lord. Don't be discouraged. My book comes out tomorrow. Guys, please pre-order this. Pre-order it for friends and family. Send it to them on Amazon. I think it's like $13. Get this on Amazon. It's on number one. It's at number one on Amazon right now. Let's keep it at number one for the Pentecostal and Charismatic category. Comes out tomorrow. You'll get it probably Wednesday if you order it right now. Tomorrow we're going to do a book release stream where I don't even know what that is. I guess we're just going to come on here, talk about the book a little bit, and then do deliverance Q&A, do Q&A, hang out, relax with you guys, pray with you guys. We'll pray mass deliverance. It'll be a great time. I don't know. I was like, what could I do special? Like, hey, the book's out. Praise the Lord. Stream's over. I don't know. But we're going to come on here and hang out. It's a big deal for me. I've been saying for 13 years I was going to write a book. From the day I got saved, I knew the Lord wanted me to write a book. It just took me like 13 years to do it. It's my first book. Might be my last book. I don't know. I'm a bit burned out on like writing and interviews and all of that. We'll see. But yeah, I appreciate you guys. What graphics card? I have a 4080. All right, so there's the links to give. Please sow where you grow. This is your, you consider this your online church, then you can tithe into our ministry. If this is what you consider your church, if you go to a local church, tithe at your local church. But if you consider this your church where you grow and get fed, then you can sow, tithe, whatever into the ministry. We appreciate you guys. All right. I got so many books to read. I know. Guys, this book, they probably want me to push it a lot harder. I know I've been pushing it hard. I talk about it every stream. I post about it in every comment. So I have been pushing it hard, but I'm not really necessarily excited about how many it sells or any of that. I don't really care about any of that. I'm really excited that I think this will be in 50 years from now, still a training manual for churches and people that want to do deliverance. I feel like 100 years from now, if the Lord hasn't returned, this will be something to train and equip people. And so that's what I'm excited about, it being a multi-generational book. That's the most exciting thing for me. And it's timeless. It's scripture. So scripture's timeless. You're getting it next week? That's so weird. You should be getting it tomorrow or Wednesday. That's maybe you live somewhere where Amazon Prime isn't like right there. I'm not playing pickleball tomorrow. I have to help a family member out with something. But yeah, I usually do play pickleball on Tuesday. And thank you guys for all your congratulations about my second place. I'm happy about it, guys. Those 22 teams, 44 guys. And I was like, if we just win one game, because we were playing in a high division. I'm like, if we win one game, I'll be happy. We ended up winning every game and making it to the gold medal match. So you have to beat out a lot of people. Then you have to play the best people of that bracket. Then when you beat them at playoffs, then you go to the gold medal match if you win that match. And we got second. We could have won gold. We were close. It was a 7-11 first game, 7-11 second game. But we made a lot of mistakes. We definitely should have won the gold medal. But we're excited that we got second place out of 22 teams. I didn't even think we were going to win one game. So thank you, guys. I'm excited about it. That was like my first real high-level tournament too, which is cool. All right. What's the book? Oh, yeah. It's How to Cast Out Demons. Everything you need to know about deliverance. and it is by, or is by, it's by Isaiah Saldivar. I wrote the book. It's by me, but it's the foreword's by Don Dickerman. You can get on Amazon. Just go right now and type in Isaiah Saldivar on Amazon and it'll pop up, How to Cast Out Demons. Okay, if you are in the chat and you're like, how's Carl doing? I'll put him on right now. If you're in the chat and you're like, I don't know about deliverance. I don't know if it's biblical, if it's real. This is the perfect book for you. This is the perfect book for you because it gives you the theology, the algorithm of deliverance. What does the Bible say that's in this book? And I made it as practical. I'm gonna tell you, some of you are going to read it and you're going to say, I don't like this book. It's too practical. It's too easy to read. It's too simple. I want something in depth. I want you to tell me how you rode Leviathan through a dark tunnel in a vision and you saw 44 angels fighting the Prince of Persia. That's not this book. If you're looking for somebody to tell you about how they wrestled Leviathan for 14 hours in a vision, that's not this book. This book is a practical guide. This is what the church in the world needs. How to do it practically. Like, I hear all your visions about Leviathan and Jezebel, but just tell me how to do deliverance in the most practical way. Give me something I can hand to my friends and family that they could learn how to do deliverance and the theology about it. Give me something I can put in the... Get this for your pastor. Get this book. Your pastor doesn't believe in deliverance. Get this book and say, hey, pastor, I got you this book. I know you have a million books, but please, please just read a little bit of this book. Just skip around, skim it. And I'm telling you, it has the theology of deliverance in it. Again, we're not riding Leviathan through dark tunnels in this book and visions or none of that. It's just real, raw, simple. There were some parts that I was like, oh, I took out because I'm like, oh, that's a little bit too deep or whatever. I just want to keep it simple. Everything you need to know, how demons come in, what are demons, how to get them out, what do you do if they're stubborn. Everything you've seen me teach on the channel, it's in book form. So it's really not only a training manual, you guys can use it to teach classes, but it's to give other people that don't know about deliverance. It's like, it's a how-to guide. It's literally a how-to guide. Like, remember those books where it's like, for dummies, what was it? Changing your oil for dummies. Remember those old books? How to cook for dummies. It's basically that. I was going to name the book, you know, How to Cast Our Demons for Dummies, but I'm like, it's probably not nice to call people dummies before they buy the book. But it's like that. It's like that. All right. Great live. Thank you. Someone said it's all fake. Praise the Lord. Thank you for that. Welcome to the block party. Thank you. Thank you, Josiah, for ordering. Thank you guys for ordering tonight. And then tomorrow, of course, I'll have the QR code to get the book and the book on screen, all of that during the live. Do Q&A on deliverance. Bring your questions. It'll be fun tomorrow. It'll be fun tomorrow. Yeah, I was going to be casting out demons for dummies, but I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to call everybody a dummy and then ask them to buy my book. So it's not looking in their mouth and yelling at the demon? No, it's not. It's not. Yeah, exactly. People that won't watch my videos, but like pastors' friends that will read books, get them the book. It's $13 or maybe $14. I don't know. It's for me right now, when I look at it on Amazon, it's $13. Like, I was like, I think that's too cheap, y'all. I don't know. I didn't set the prices, but I was like, oh, I don't know. I'm going to be getting like $1 per book. I don't know, but that seems very cheap to me. It's 200 and something pages. It's a nice book. It's a nice cover. It's high quality. It's Charisma Publishing. They're the top notch in the Christian world. So I'm like, $13? I feel like it should be like at least 20 with inflation. I can't even get a roll of sushi for $13. Come on now. Learn deliverance cheaper than a roll of sushi. There's the tagline. All right. Praise the Lord. Deliverance for dummies. Yes. But I'm excited because I know you can hand it out to friends and family, pass it around, all of that. It'll be a great resource for people. There won't be a workbook. Well, workbook. I thought about doing a workbook, but I don't know. Maybe in the future. But, oh yeah, there's an audiobook. There's an audiobook, and I'm reading it. And it was not easy to do. It took me like a lot of hours. And yes. So enjoy the audiobook. I probably won't ever do another audiobook again if it's my own book. I'll probably just have like a narrator. But for my first one, I said, oh, I'll do the audiobook. So yes, just excuse my reading because, you know, I don't even know what I was doing. I'm like, what am I even doing? You're supposed to like pronunciate. I probably didn't do that right and all that, but it's genuine. So you'll like it. And it's me talking. It's not me screaming, shouting, no deep breath. It's just chapter 4. And it's not in that voice. It's just a normal voice, but it's me reading at a normal speed. All right. Good job on the audio. Thank you. Thank you. Y'all asking about food in heaven, we won't care about food. I think there will be food in heaven. The Bible has eating all over it, so I think there will be Chick-fil-A in heaven. I don't know. Probably. Any other recommendations? Oh, book recommendations? Yeah, When Pigs Move In. The guy who wrote the foreword for this book has a great book, When Pigs Move In. Any of books, Vlad, Mike Signorelli, Alexander Pagani, all those guys have amazing books. Any of my guys, I recommend. But honestly, I'll just be real with you guys. I'm not a big reader. So I like watching podcasts and videos. I don't like reading, to be honest. The only thing I read is the Bible, and I just can't be bothered. I'm like, oh, sitting down and reading a book. I'm too visual. Maybe it's just my brain. But I'm just not a big reader. I'm not a big reader, to be honest. Are prayer boards considered New Age? Yes. By prayer boards, you mean like not a Ouija board, but where you're asking God to speak to? Is that what you're talking about? Ooh, sushi sounds kind of good now. I'm so hungry. I haven't ate. I'm hungry. I'm buying the audiobook. Awesome. We are going to be going in a few minutes to Jared and Candace's stream. Let me give you guys the link. They're going to be doing worship and prayer. Oh, I also want to say thank you to everyone that's been supporting their ministry and joining their worship and prayer. It means a lot to me and to them. So it means a lot to us. Thank you guys for going. There's the link to Jared and Candace's stream. If you're on Facebook, there it is. That's where we're going in 3 minutes. And I appreciate them going live. I get on here and preach, give you guys the word, and then they do worship and prayer after. So you're getting both. You know, if you're going to bed now, I know it's late for a lot of you. Put it on. Put it on as you go to bed. Put on the worship and prayer. Be encouraged. That's very honest of you. Good job. I'm glad you didn't do For Dummies. It would lessen the meaning of the book. Yeah, I was like, that's probably not good. If you want to have a generational book, there was all these titles we were going back and forth. I was like, look, there's no way, even though like How to Cast Out Demons seems like, oh, it's too simple for a book. You can't go wrong. That's the best title, in my opinion, ever. You literally can't go wrong. If you're on Amazon, like, I need to learn how to cast the demons. How to cast the demons. My book comes up. The best name. It's the simplest to me. And it's like, in 50 years, that name will still be relevant. Right? If I named it, like, Casting Out Demons for Gen Z, in 50, 60, 80 years, I won't even... You know what I'm saying? You got to name it How to Cast Demons for Dummies. Kids today don't even know what those books are. So we got... I just try to keep it where in 100 years, it'll still be relevant with a simple name. You go to Jared and Candace's after me. Thank you all that go to Jared and Candace's after me. I appreciate that. And thank you all for giving. If you became a monthly partner tonight, you'll get an email from me. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It's an interesting book, okay? You're not going to be bored. You're going to be like, wow, this is interesting. It's not, and I'm not just saying that because I wrote it, but it is an interesting book. I didn't write the book just to write the book. I'm not just trying to fill pages using like ChatGPT. This is actually a heartfelt book. And yeah. And I don't even know if I'm good at writing a book. This book might be terrible. I know the information's good, but the writing might be like, for those of you that are like into writing, I have no clue. You might be like, this is like the worst written book of all time. I had an editor, but they don't edit your they don't like add content. You write it all, and then, you know, they'll edit here and there. But yeah, I don't know. Writing wise, maybe it's terrible, but I know the content's good and the scriptures are good and the lessons are good. So there's that. But I don't even know. Now that I think about it, I'm like, maybe it's not good. Okay, and so all of you that are here, I don't know how many of you are here because my view counter for Facebook and YouTube went out. So I have no clue how many people are on. 840 on YouTube and a couple hundred on Facebook. All right. This is a lot of people. Everybody, do not click off. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. Do not click off this video. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. This is the most important thing you can do for me. I'll be posting a lot of shorts about the book and stuff now because it's out. So I don't have to keep saying pre-order. It's like, it's so lame to tell people to pre-order. Now you can get it now. Here's the thing. Pay attention to this. Please, please, please listen to what I'm going to say. I need every single one of you to do this. You guys ready? I've done a lot for y'all. I get on here. I've given my life to this. This is all I do. I've given up everything to do this. Please, if you bought the book on Amazon, when you get the book, go on your Amazon app and leave a review. Please, please. I'm going to read every review. I'm going to read every single review. Please, please. I'm begging. Have you ever seen me beg? I've never begged. Maybe I begged once for you to get saved, but I'm begging. Someone said, please take a sales class before you try to sell it. I'm literally trying to sell my book and I'm like, it's terrible. I wrote it terrible. I'm never writing another book. No. Please listen. Please leave a review. That's it. Just write that in your calendar tomorrow. Whatever day you're getting the book, write in your calendar, leave an Amazon review for Isaiah. Will you guys do it? Type one. Type one if you're going to leave a review and you bought it on Amazon. Hurry, go on, type one. Because that will boost us in the algorithm. More people see it. More people will buy it. It just helps. It helps. And guys, the profit margins on these things are razor thin. So if you think I'm trying to like sell as many as I can to make money, you don't know how books and all that work. I just want to get the word out there. I would be giving this for free if I could. But guess what? It costs money to print. Type one. If you're going to leave a review on Amazon, type one right now. Please. 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 It's just so easy. I've never left an Amazon review. But you know what? I'll do it for my own book. I don't think I even can. I'm pretty sure. Wait, can I? I probably could. I ordered on Amazon too. Even though I have like hundreds of copies. All right. The Lord sees. You said you're going to do it. The Lord sees all these ones. He knows he's going to hold you accountable. The Holy Spirit's going to convict you. That's enough. If we could just get these people here, these are like, I'm not trying to be rude to all those other people that are casual that left, but you guys are like the real, you guys are all in. Let's go. You guys are the remnant, the soldiers. You guys are my people. A lot of you have been here since day one. So I just need you guys to do it. That's going to be awesome. Yeah? Okay, cool. So tomorrow when the book's out, I'm going to see a bunch of reviews. And listen, you can even review it before you get it if you want. If it lets you, I don't know. Just it's going to be good. It's going to be good, okay? Content's good. I know what it is. Someone said, bro, desperate. Yes! Teaching 101, I'm desperate. Please review my book, please. Yes, absolutely, I'm desperate. I want you guys to review it. I spent a lot of hard work on this. I'm absolutely desperate. Of course I'm desperate. I'm literally begging on stream. No pride to salvage. Don't care. Begging. I'm going to keep doing it too. Tomorrow I'm going to be like, please leave a review. Oh, you know what? I should read the reviews on stream. That's something fun we can do. I'm going to read the book reviews on stream tomorrow. Because I'm trying to figure out what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, am I supposed to be doing backflips and hula hooping while we're releasing the book tomorrow? I don't know. But I'm going to... If the reviews are out tomorrow, I think they will be. I don't know. But a lot of you are getting your books tomorrow. So get your book and then leave a review so I can read it on stream. You can even add a little bit of your testimony in there or whatever, how you found out about us. I don't know. No, it's on Amazon. It's not free. Unfortunately, it costs money to print books. If I gave you a free book, it would have to be an ebook. And if I gave you a free hard book, somebody would have to pay to print it. And it's end of the year, you know, times are hard. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's not free. I love your sense of humor. Thank you. I hope you guys catch my humor too. I have dry humor, but I say a lot of stuff joking. I'm like, I don't know if they thought that was a joke or not, or realized it was a joke, but it doesn't matter. Yeah, so I'm excited to go see and read all the reviews. Oh, you want me to do a stream where I release my book while playing pickleball? Don't tempt me. Are you literally saying to play pickleball on stream? Oh, I will. Trust me. You don't have to ask me twice to play pickleball. You can literally... Oh, wait, are Jared and Candace live yet? No, okay, I was scared. I was like, am I over here ranting while they're live and I'm not sending people? You can literally call me at 4:00 in the morning. This is true. And say, hey, bro, you want to go play pickleball? And the answer is yes. That's how much I love pickleball. All right. You're so funny. Thank you, Brenda. Thank you. Congrats on the tournament. Thank you. I should have worn my medal while I was preaching at my second place silver medal. You want to call me cringe and weird? You would have really called me weird when I wore my silver medal to preach. Huh? All right. Your humor is awesome. Thank you. There's no free lunch on planet Earth. Yeah. It's not free. I mean, come on now. We're not a Kamala Harris people here. We don't expect everything free. What? Oh, did I say that out loud? Sorry. All right. I love all of you. We're going to be going over there. I have no sense of humor. It's okay. We are going to go over to Jared and Candace's stream. When they start here, they'll be starting in a moment. This is where they're going, worship and prayer together. It's going to be great. It's going to be huge. I'll tell you when they're live and we'll all go over there. When you see my ending screen, that means they're live. Yeah. We're not, no socialism here. You didn't wear the medal to preach? Alyssa told me to wear it to church. She's like, that'd be so funny, but I couldn't. Even though a bunch of people came up to me at church and were like, congratulations. I'm second place. Second place is still a big deal, though. Listen, I know they say if you're not first, you're last, but getting in second place, it means you made it to the gold medal. It matters in pickleball, okay? It's not... This matters, all right? Whatever helps me sleep at night. And you know what's funny is I did a tournament on Saturday and got second place, and then I did a tournament on Sunday. Sunday at like 4 o'clock, we had a tournament, a local one, and I got second place again. So I'm just the silver surfer. We're just living in silver. I don't even like gold. I was like, when we lost both days in a row, gold medal matches, two different tournaments, I said, I don't even like gold. I literally don't even like the color gold. I like the color silver. I have a silver play button. I don't have a gold play button, so it is what it is. I didn't want a gold medal anyways. Gold is, ugh, I don't like gold. I like silver. I purposely got second. What? All right, Jared, whenever you're ready, brother. They're hungry. They're ready. Thank you so much. I'll have a great dinner. And thank you guys for ordering. Yeah. All of you guys pushing the orders. That's awesome. Thank you. It helps. You know Pastor Dave Diga? I do. I've had him on the podcast several times. I've been on his show several times. Where can I go watch the other live? Right here. This is where we're going. And if you're on YouTube and you have autoplay, it'll redirect you there when we get done, okay? So if you're on YouTube, just stay and it'll take you there automatically. But you could also click that link if you want to get a heads up. Let me text Jared and see if he's okay. He's probably already texted me. Let's see. Listen, with streaming, you have technical difficulties, all that. Yeah, silver is way better. Who even wants gold? Who wants gold? Listen, when we get to heaven, I like gold. But I don't like gold while I'm on Earth. I just text them. They'll be live soon. Oh, his stream got messed up. Oh, no. Hold on. Okay, his stream got messed up. He's going to need another one. All right, let's hang out for a bit. He's making a new one, and then I'll redirect again. So hang on. That's not going to be the link. I'm going to get you guys a new link. That's unfortunate. That's frustrating when that happens. Okay, so it's going to be a different link. The final score for the gold medal was 11-7. You play best 2 out of 3. And then the Sunday was rally scoring to 21, and I think the score was like 18-21. So we are a couple points away. We were right there. We could have won both of them, but it's pickleball. It is what it is. You hit one in the net, you hit another one in the net, and you lose. All right, we'll talk here. Oh, there's a new link. Okay, let's see. I'm going to redirect it now. Let's go to... Apparently, they have a new link. I don't see the new link. Are you sure that's the new link? Let's see. Oh, okay. Let's worship. Let me fix my stream then so I can redirect. Give me a second, guys. Hang tight. You could wait. Everybody hang tight. It's all going to work out here. Let me fix it here. Go to redirect. I'm going to change it so it'll redirect you guys to the right place. Okay. Here we go. I'm going to get you guys a new link. Let me load the new link. All right, I got the new link. I'm going to give it to you guys right now. There's the new link. That's where we're going. Why does the book come next week? Pre-order in September? That's so lame. I don't know. Everybody told me they're getting it tomorrow. If you pre-order it, you should be getting it tomorrow. But it probably depends on how far you are from Amazon. Do you always get Amazon Prime right away? Or maybe it's sold out the first... I don't know. It's all through Amazon distribution. I could ask tomorrow and let you guys know. They're live here. So here we go. We are going now. They are live. I love you guys so much. I will see you guys tomorrow night for the book release hangout. Please leave a review so I can read it on stream. Come with your deliverance questions and we'll chat and talk and pray together. Love you guys. Go to Jared and Candace's now. The redirect should be working. So let's go there now. Love you.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.